Hello, everyone! The Hippie Coyote here. This is the Coyote Radio TV show. I'm your host, and we've got some good stuff, of course. CoyoteRadio.tv. Go to our official hippie website at CoyoteRadio.tv. You're looking for stuff? We got good stuff, of course. The Coyote Radio TV show, where you can find audiobooks, music videos, podcasts, and could-have-been hit songs from Shaolin Records. Go to ShaolinRecords.com for hip stuff, even if you're not hip. All right, Mr. Connor, Mr. Founder of Shaolin Records, Richard Del Connor, I'm glad to have you here in the studio, our little studio. What are you going to talk about today? Were you going to talk about some production techniques or something?
Give me a moment. I'm going to actually read you a poem. I wanted to talk to you about the difference between jazz and rock music.
The difference between jazz and rock music? Well, okay. All right. Get yourself set up. We'll be right back. Mr. Connor, are you ready? Are you set up over there?
Yes, just almost.
All right. Well, today, Mr. Connor is going to read a poem called Government Song. No, that was last week. I'm sorry. Godfather of Poetry. I see. You're going to read Godfather of Poetry today.
Actually, Eugene, I was going to read another poem. Maybe I could read both of them.
Well, two poems in one day? Okay, that's fine with me. If the audience is happy, we're all happy. All right. So, okay, explain what you're up to there, Mr. Connor.
Thank you, Eugene. Let's see. There's a poem that I really wanted to read today. It's called Hideaway Bar and Grill. And it's for the last year or more, you've noticed, if you followed my poetry, most of it hasn't been published, but when it is, and you read through my poem and my poetry in a chronological manner, you'll start to realize I've been trying to understand the different type of musicians that exist and why I harmonize with some and not with others, and why I tend to resent or not dislike some types of musicians and tend to cherish others. And I've been trying to understand what the difference is. And in the last couple of years, I've actually really figured it out. But this is a poem written before I had actually completely figured it out. And this was actually written a year ago. It's called Hideaway Bar and Grill. True stories, like most all my poetry. And here we go. Maybe I'll explain it after we're done. Hideaway Bar and Grill. The bullfrog on bass has a gentle, sensuous touch. All the players have a wrinkled face, and when the drummer sings, I like them very much. Eric Garcia calls it a blues jam, but the song All Blues sounds more like jazz. Another flute took the stage, so here I am, in my car, wondering if I want to join the razzmatazz. What key do I play in? I play by ear, I don't know. I practice until my flute is saying where I want to go. I hear the melodies in my mind, then I search my flute keys, or discover something better instead, until I like what I hear, and my heart is pleased. The players who jam the best have already put their riffs to the test. Their medley of melodies they will unrest may have less errors than what I feel and guessed. Maybe I'll go back in. I still hear the flute. I don't need to kick his ass, so I may today be mute. All right, that was my poem called Hideaway Bar and Grill. And this was a year and a half ago, I guess, actually. And it was an interesting experience for me. It was some year ago. So I found a place to play. I was looking for different clubs to play at, you know, to jam on my flute. And so I was looking for more of a rock club than a jazz club. And the Hideaway Bar and Grill turned out to be advertised as a blues club, and there were some rock people there. So I fit in there better than a lot of these jazz clubs. The problem is with jazz music is there's all kinds of what are called jazz standards and jazz songs and soundtracks and movies and old classics, and they expect you to know how to play them and whip them out whenever they want you to. So jazz players are really just session players. Well, they're professional musicians. So then I was trying to figure out, why are some of these professional musicians so disinteresting to me? Why do I have so little respect for them? I mean, they could be making $1 million a year and have all these records, and I have no respect for them as a musical artist. And I was trying to figure that out. And only in the last year did I actually completely figure it out. And it turns out that there are different types of musicians, just like there's different types of everything. Okay, no big deal. But what are the different types of musicians? Well, first of all, let's take anybody. Okay, so you're just a boy or a girl in elementary school, and you learn to play music. Great, okay? Everybody should learn to play music, even if you're not a musician. And that's what people don't understand. See, people seem to think that magically one day you're going to wake up and be a musician because somebody taught you how to move your fingers on a bunch of strings, and all of a sudden, boom, you wake up and you're an automatic musician. And there's no such thing. It doesn't happen that way. I've been watching all my life. I've been training people and watching people be trained, and I can tell you for a fact, you can't turn someone into a musician. Well, okay, I'm going to qualify that in a minute. Who's not a musician? Pardon me. So what do we call a musician? That's the problem. We call a musician anybody who can move their fingers appropriately on a mechanical device and make it coincide with the other people plucking, hitting, or blowing into their musical instruments. And if it blends in with them, you're considered to be a musician. So a musician is anyone who can basically manipulate a physical object and make it sound okay, making noise with a bunch of other people manipulating physical objects and making noise. And if you can blend in with them, you're called a musician. Well, I'll agree that you're playing music. But if I taught my cat to do that, or I taught a dog to do that, or a bird to peck those strings at the exact right time, am I really creating a musician, or am I creating someone who's playing music? And that's the problem, is people do not understand that there's a difference between a musician and someone who can play music. Okay, so that's been a big thing for me to understand. So then, let me finish this up real quick. So what it turns out is, there's two types of musicians. There's the person who's a musician because they have to be a musician, and then there's the person who's a human or animal who's been trained to play music. Now, how can you tell the difference? All the humans that were trained to play music who are not a musician call themselves jazz musicians. If a person calls themselves a jazz musician, then they are a worker, a human, who's been trained to play music. That's it. They're not a musician. They're just a worker playing music. Now, people say that's called a musician job. Okay, you can call that a music playing job. But no, that's not really a musician. And that's where we're having a problem. But let's just move on. Now, I promised you this poem a couple of weeks ago. So this is called Godfather of Poetry. Let me wrap this up here. And I got to get out of here, actually. But okay. Godfather of Poetry.
Oh, Mr. Connor.
Yes, Eugene.
Were you going to stick around for later and do a performance? Oh.
Why don't we just... Let's discuss that after this break. Okay, let me get this poem in.
Sorry to interrupt you.
All right, here we go. Godfather of Poetry. I just performed with the Godfather. Let me start this poem off. This poem was written after I'd performed at an event, a poetry event. I've been doing, I don't know, less than 100, maybe only about 50, maybe even less than 50, but a lot, maybe about 50 poetry performances in the last year. And I'll have to add them up. I was keeping track of them for a while, but there were just so many, I couldn't keep track of them. I was doing two or three a week, and then I'd sit down and go, oh, yeah, what was that one last week? And on Tuesday, what did I play? I lost track of them. I performed a lot. Anyway, one of the gigs I performed at, I always get there earlier, usually. Yeah, I think I've always been early, maybe. I don't know if I've ever been late. Anyway, I get there early at these poetry performances and hang out and check out the place and have fun, meet some people and talk. Because that's the reason I'm going, really, is I was trying to make connections and meet some people in the business. So anyway, I was meeting this guy. He was the featured poet. And the featured poet often is the only person who gets paid for performing in most places. And he was the featured poet here, and he'd performed here before. He was evidently well-established and well-known by everybody except me. Because I've just popped into the scene in the last year, and now I've just popped out of it. So the only people I know in the scene are the people I ran into in the last year. So anyway, I ran into this guy. And this guy's name was the Godfather of Poetry. So I guess I've given him away already, so. He may not like this poem. Okay, so here we go. I just performed with the Godfather of L.A. Poetry. He publishes books, collections of poets, Today, he was the featured poet in NoHo City. I made him laugh before the event. We viewed each other's books and reached an agreement. It's hard to live on publishing royalty. Because no one buys a poetry book. Why should they bother to give it a look? Most of today's poetry doesn't rhyme. There's no punctuation or capitalization much of the time. If a poet is going to ignore a proper way to rhyme and write, why should a reader pay for such a disorganized sight? I read him a poem, Romantic Chaos. He grumbled that all love is a loss. I read him a poem, The Meaning of Life, next. I was surprised his impression was perplexed. I told my friend that Godfather was not amused. My friend said, didn't you hear the name of his book? He's lived a life of being self-abused. This led to a final epiphany regarding my poetry writing community. Most of these quitters, whiny bitches, and sissified men are here to share with us what their friends don't want to hear again. Poetry groups will rattle your brain with all the social, sexual problems teenagers should abstain when the... when the gray spiders speak of love, they sound like web-weaving regrets of pain. Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, back on track here. Poetry has become an archaic leech into our stuck-in-a-seat, can't-leave mind, then injecting us with misery that we don't want to find. Psychiatrists like ambulance chasers should discover their poetic clients there. Do we make them stronger by covering our faces and politely pretending that we care? Now, I confess, my poetry contains many unresolved issues from my unsolved brains. Unsolved brains. As I endure, resist, learn, and comply, my problems are expressed resolving my why. Put back... Oh, yeah, all right. But back to that poet Godfather of L.A. Why would I want for poetry to pay? Perhaps he can enlighten and illuminate by sharing with us the path of his soul. But why do I want to follow a self-destructive asshole? When your poetry confesses and expresses a mistake, shouldn't it enlighten us to a better path to take? But if the Godfather is leading lemmings to a cliff to die, who should read this poetry that details how to live your life wrong so it fails? He'll provide verified reasons why failure he tried. Poets are the sages and leaders of energy. Sorry. Now, poets are the sages and leaders of every society. Poets are the dreamers of peace, love, and philosophy. As every teen generation seeks an image of a better person, there are plenty of bipolar emotions to teach you about bitching and cursing, so I wanted to blend in with the millennial soul. I would learn from the Godfather of poetry. He's a real asshole. If I wanted to blend it. So the point being, he was a real jerk. That's the whole point. And his poetry was all about how he was a jerk. And it was absolutely embarrassing. I would never want to confess to all the things he was talking about. But somehow, if you can make a horrible mistake and then make a poem out of it, you've somehow redeemed yourself. I think that's what's going on. This is like penance. And I think that's the problem with poetry today, is people are using it as just penance or a way to make people eat their sins. They're just pouring their problems out into the universe. If anybody hears them, they feel a little better. And that's true. I think that everyone needs a friend just so you can dump all your problems on them. I totally agree with that and support that concept. That's why I don't have any friends. I have so many problems. Nobody can handle all my dumpage. But no, the problem is you've got to find a friend that you want to help. That's the whole idea of having a friend, is you make their life better. And that's it. That's what a friend is you make their life better. So, as a poet, I think we're supposed to be a friend of society. We're supposed to be making life better.
Wow, that was really nice there, Mr. Connor. Well, just wrap it up there.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Eugene. All right. Well, anyway, that's it for this segment. And there you go.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Connor. I will see you later. And we got two poems out of them instead of one today. And that was an interesting that what he was talking about different types of musicians. I'm not sure I followed that, but I'm going to listen to this podcast again later and see if I can understand that a little better. And he was reading also, we should do an audiobook on that. Hey, guys, I see you. Are you paying attention to me? I think we should do an audiobook of this. Philosopher, Poet in a Field of Dreams, that poetry book he released this year, he published in Shallow Communications. I think that would make an interesting audiobook. Is that in the works? I see you nodding. All right. Well, okay. Yeah, get that audiobook out. I think that could be interesting. I've read the book. It's a great little book. It's interesting too, because as VP of marketing, I've been testing it out on people and passing it around to a few people I know, and the feedback I've got on it is very interesting. They have told me that in fact, some people have called it a haiku, which at first I thought, what? How could that be? And then I kind of understood what they were saying. They were kind of saying that a haiku is a very small little poem all the time. And because we broke down the poetry of Mr. Connor in his book, one poem will take like 6 pages, but it'll only be like 6 to 8 lines on each page. So as a result, you don't get so confused. He says so much stuff. This is not your usual type of poetry. It's definitely philosophical poet. Anyway, so we broke it up in little pieces, and people say they like just opening up the book and finding random poems to just jump into. And I thought that was very interesting. I told Mr. Connor about that, and he was first a little perturbed, but then he kind of realized that he's happy that people are enjoying and getting some use out of his poetry. And I thought that was kind of funny. He is an author, of course, wants you to start at the beginning and make it to the end. He sees an author, so he sees everything in a beginning, middle, and end concept. So to just go into the middle and start pulling things out. But anyway, I tried it myself. So I actually went back and told him, I think it's a kind of a good idea. So I'm thinking we should keep this format for future poetry books and not put 30, 40 lines on one page. Let's just put a half a dozen. Let people really mull it over and kind of dig in and understand what you're saying. Because especially with the stuff that Mr. Connor is saying, it's stuff you got to mull for a while. All right. So, all right, let's mull our way out of here. And this is Eugene, VP of Marketing, Shallon Records. And I'm really excited what we're doing here. This is only our third podcast here of the Coyote Radio TV show. And we've got a lot of ideas on what we're going to do, but we're just glad to get it moving and keep it moving. So glad to have you here, and stay on board. We got some exciting new developments coming.
The book, the paperback, the poetry, the man, philosopher poet in a field of dreams. Richard Del Connor is a philosopher poet who usually performs a song on flute when he recites his poetry. Clean, clever rhymes and comical perspectives create a poetic memoir of his artistic, creative, Shaolin Kung Fu, and Tai Chi Xuan lifestyle. See for yourself. Get the paperback. Philosopher Poet in a Field of Dreams by that philosopher poet, Richard Del Connor.
We've got 8 podcast shows at coyoteradio.tv. You can go to our website at coyoteradio.tv anytime and see them all. And thanks to Anchor FM for making this possible.
Oh, this is a special announcement to all my goo brothers out there. I've been informed they've given me a chance for a PSA. Now, my goo brothers, I want you to know this is not entirely bad, but a peace of mind was crashed into our atmosphere earlier this month. It actually crashed into a satellite. And some uncharred goo was recovered in Wyoming, where it crashed to Earth. And they recovered a small peace of mind, which I tell you, this could threaten the very fabric of our existence.
Well, hello, folks. That's going to wrap it up for today. Interesting show and interesting guest we had there. The goo people. I'm not familiar with them. All right, have a great... And by the way, that was interesting how they tagged into it. They knew we were going to be talking about peace of mind. Clever people, those goos. Okay, here we go. Now, what I want to do is let you know this a song, Peace of Mind, okay, is the satisfaction that a parent feels when their child is sleeping. I actually can... relate to that, it's what it says here. But that's true. That's a very good statement. When you look at your child sleeping and you have that sense of they're at peace, they're happy, and they're safe and secure, it's a feeling you get as a parent that is best called peace of mind. And yes, this album by American Zen is about when he did have a young daughter. It was written when his daughter was about 1 year old, one and two, somewhere in that period. And so it's a very romantic family album. Level one equals peace of mind. And this is Coyote's attempt to obtain some of that peace of mind. Now, this song, Peace of Mind, that we're including here is actually from the second album. But this is actually supposed to be the very first song on the very first album. And this was the first song he wrote when he moved to Utah. This is Peace of Mind, number one, by American Zen.